The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Waterski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Greetings, everyone. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and this is the TWBC Podcast. I'm here at the Isles of Lake Hancock getting ready for the King of Darkness event, which is going to feature some of the world's top jumpers and some great talent across the board from many of the pro athletes across the world. And one of those great athletes that we'll see is Charlie Ross, who set the world on fire a few weeks ago, becoming the youngest ever skier to run 39 and a half off and put a score into 41 off. So, Charlie Ross, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How about you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So, take us back a few weeks. Swiss Pro Slalom coming in. I think it was the second round, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That you put that score up. I mean, just the picture of you, just like slow motion, freeze frame, just that just moment of absolutely unabated joy. I mean, that must have been a pivotal moment for you.
Yeah, it was definitely a big deal. First round, I fell at five ball, so I was a little nervous because I went into that tournament with a goal of running it. Like, I really wanted to run it. Like, I had been training really hard this winter with the goal of running it this winter. So after falling first round, you get a little nervous. And the second round, we had to start at 35, so it was a little scary. And 38, I barely survived, but I was a good 39. It was exciting.
So how often do you get to train going in at 35 off? I mean, is it something that your dad, Drew Ross, gets you to practice once in a while? Or is it like a one-off, and knowing the kind of tournament that you have ahead?
Well, I mean, that was the first time I had ever started at 35.
Like,
Yeah, but I usually do a couple sets where I start at 38 or I start at 32. I just go back and forth between those two. So never really 35, but it was interesting, definitely.
So for an event that is basically grounded in consistency between one pass or another, you know, you try and change it up a little bit, it seems, you know, starting at 32 and at 38, kind of. So variety seems to be the thing that keeps things going for you so far as slalom is concerned. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, definitely you don't want to get stuck in your own way in practice, because then let's say you show up to a tournament and the wind's the wrong direction for the pass you want to take for your hardest pass. So you have to always have a base where you can change back and forth and not lose that
edge kind of deal.
Yeah, exactly.
All right then. So now that you've put a pass at 39 and a half off under your belt and your stock has risen, a lot of people that never knew you before are now suddenly your best friends, you know, along the shore side, giving you congratulations and stuff. But now the level of expectation ramps up. You know, it seems like every single time that you go to a tournament now that are better than average conditions, we're expecting Charlie Ross to freaking smoke 39 and a half off and put a score into 41. But the reality is a lot different than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, usually I run it in practice every day, but It's a different beast in tournament, so it does raise the expectations a bit. My second score right now is 4, so I mean, definitely this weekend I'm gonna wanna up it as well as me getting to 41. And yeah,
okie dokie. So let's go a little bit tech savvy with some of our listeners. You know, I mean, you do get the occasional listener that wants to hone in on what other skiers do so far as ski setup and all that kind of stuff. So what kind of ski do you ride right now?
Right now I'm on the D3 Ion.
Uh-huh.
Size 66, but I go back and forth between a 66 and a 67.
Okay, rationale behind that?
I mean, 66 is better at the buoy, I feel like. It's slower at the buoy, which you can control more, but I mean, 67 is just a faster ski. It's faster behind the boat, faster at the buoy. So if I feel like it just depends on I mean, sometimes it's too fast for me because I'm on the smaller end for it. Like, I have a lot of talks with Freddie and Nate about what they think about it. Different opinions. Nate went to it early, a 67 early, but yeah, I mean, it just depends on how I feel. If I feel slow, then maybe I want the 67. But right now, the 66 is working. So yeah.
Okay. So how far out from a major tournament, like say the under 17 or the under 21 worlds, you know, do you kind of lock into a particular setup and stay with it?
I mean, right now I've kind of made the decision to lock in on the 66. But I mean, Freddie talks about it as finding your base and sticking to a base, and I agree with that. I think it's important to have that line and have that consistency on a ski. He said when he was picking skis to go to D3 that he was on a bunch of skis, trying a bunch of them, and he kept changing back and forth, and eventually you lose that base and you lose that consistency between a ski.
Okay. So. All right then. So obviously your dad, Drew Ross, certainly one of the finest slalom skiers Canada has ever produced. Does he still hold the Canadian national record, or has that since been broken?
I think that's Jason right now.
Jason now, I guess relatively short amount of time ago. But before Jason, it was Drew with the Canadian record, I guess, into 41 off. So something you got your eye on?
I mean, I think that's not for a while because I would need a piece of six ball to break it. But I mean, that's the end goal, but it's a long term goal, not a.
Okay, obviously, we touched upon Drew Ross, probably your primary coach, but obviously, you hinted that you take some cues coaching wise from other skiers within the D3 stable. So. How different is their approach to slalom skiing compared to what your dad advocates that you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's not different in a sense. It's just getting different, like different sayings and different stuff to click. Like when I'm struggling, I do a lot of skiing with Andrew Bergman that works at our lake. I mean, he's very good at, okay, this phrase or this isn't clicking, so we got to find something for you to try that will. Or like, all right, so you're having a hard time turning one ball. So why is that? So I'm saying, okay, draw everything to the high point. Well, how are you going to do that? Maybe think inside hip up, or maybe think handle all the way up. Like, just stuff like that. Just getting
no. It's basically like, you know, someone tells you to like bring your hips forward, but the same motion could be achieved by squeezing your shoulder blades together, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just a different way of getting the result. And if one way's not clicking, you got to find a way around it. So I think. Between my dad, Andrew Bergman, Nate, Freddie, just a bunch of other skiers that I can talk to. If I'm struggling, then I can help get that goal.
Okay, so yeah, you're obviously eligible to compete in the Junior World Championships, the Under 17 Worlds, and the Under 21 Worlds, one event after the other. And obviously, being that young, I mean, I could just see by the looks of you, you can go to a restaurant, eat everything on the menu, and still not put on a pound of weight. But is there any kind of workout regimen that you have, or any kind of fitness regimen that keeps you in the shape necessary to make these attempts at 41?
Honestly, not a ton. I don't work out that much, but no, me and my dad are set on a certain weight that I have to be at to ski. Like, a lot of people think bulking up and being the heaviest they can be and the most muscles is the best way to ski, but I mean, my theory is it's not. My theory is the lighter you are, the faster you'll be on the ski, the faster you'll be able to move, and then from there it's just technique. You don't need muscle.
Excellent. So as long as you stay light and as long as you stay relatively nimble, then you always got a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
It would seem. So, Under 17 World Championships, Under 21 Worlds coming up. It's in a few weeks' time, towards the beginning of August. So, obviously, you have a great chance in finishing on the podium, if not winning in those particular events. And there are two major events back to back, so that must put a bit of mental strain on you a little bit when you're having to go for two major title events back to back, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely stressful, but I mean, it's been the goal the whole way, so I'm more excited than it. Obviously, there's going to be some great competitors, so podium's not a lock. Like, I mean, Fede is going to be there, like Jeremy. There's just a lot of good skiers that'll be there, so it'll be exciting. I'm really excited to go ski there, so Yeah.
So do you keep an eye on who on whoever else is in your division, how they're competing, check on the results, check the latest webcast or anything like that? Do you go all out on recon on those skiers, or do you just let whatever happens happen so far as your knowledge based upon whatever skiers are doing?
Yeah, I mean, I always watch the webcast and everything, but not really for scouting and like looking at other competitors, more than just to love watching skiing and love being able to watch and be around the sport as much as I can. But the other competitors, like, I mean, I know every competitor has that ability in them to run 39 in a day or run deep 39, so it's just whoever can do it on that day. So I wouldn't say I scout as much for the skiers, or I watch every detail of theirs, because that's not really going to help my skiing. It's just going to be who's going to do it on that day.
So you just kind of hinted in that answer that you are a genuine fan of the sport, aren't you? I mean, you don't just put yourself in this bubble and not really care too much about whatever else is doing. But I mean, you're out here watching the jump in here, you know, you saw like Freddy Krueger bust out a huge jump on his first attempt, and you're saying, wow. But yeah, you're a true fan of the sport. I mean, and you know, and how when was the first time you ever got on top of the water? Because I'm sure you had plenty of encouragement for that.
Yeah, I mean, my dad used to pull me and my sister on the beach when we were very, very little. I don't remember the exact time I first skied, but I'm guessing with a boom when I was like three or four-ish. So I mean, I've been around the sport, watching, going to my dad's tournaments or going to my sister's tournaments. I've been around it the whole time. So being around it, you always get a sort of like passion for it. And originally, I didn't think I was going to be a skier. I didn't love it, but as obviously I love it now and I've grown to love it. But I mean, I just loved being able to watch it.
I think you'll find that's the case with a lot of families, you know, where the parents have established themselves as great skiing athletes, and then when it comes down to the kids just want absolutely nothing to do with the sport. They'd rather have a tennis racket in their hands or play soccer or do something else other than get on top of the water and compete. But fair play for you for actually sticking with the sport, and your sister as well. I mean, how much of an encouragement does she bring to the table? I mean, she's like multiple time world champion in open and in age category right now.
Yeah, I mean, just being able to train with her, like, she knows how to prep for a big tournament. She knows all the details and how to get yourself in that mind setting where you're dialed in and you're not nervous, you're not a mess before a tournament. So she's definitely good to be around. Like, before the Masters, I was stressing a ton. Like, it's a big event, obviously. It's something that I dreamed about skiing for a while. So when it finally gets there, you're nervous, your heart's beating, you're going crazy, it seems like. But she's really good at just getting in that mindset. Hey, it's okay. What's going to happen? All right, you're going to miss your opener. Oh, well. Or, you know, she's really good at getting you in that mindset and dialing you in before a tournament.
Excellent stuff. Now you're an athlete that, I mean, you're obviously based here at the Isles of Lake Hancock or the Drew Ross Water Ski Academy just down the road here. Big shout out to him. But how important is it for you to vary things up so far as location? Because I understand that during the summer you actually pack up your vehicle, head on over to Ontario, isn't that right? And you have your like little log cabin and everything on a lake and ski a bit up there. How important is it for you to vary that up?
Yeah, I mean, we actually leave on Sunday, so it's a lot of packing right now. It's all for us just packing and getting ready. But no, I mean, it's definitely special. I mean, that lake, it's a cold water lake. It has some rock next to it, so it does get a little bumpy, but I mean, it prepares you for harder conditions. Like,
you're not skiing on a 67 inch slalom ski up there, I take it.
Maybe, I don't know. We'll see when we get up there. But I mean, obviously at Winter Garden Water Ski, like, it's pretty prime conditions. Like, it's never really that windy. It's always calm, it's always glass, the hot water's hot, it's a place where you can run prime scores. In Canada, it's a little harder. I mean, you can still run those big scores, but it definitely is harder. So I think it's really neat to go and train there, because then you're more prepared for those big tournaments.
Right.
Like that.
You've had the dream start to the season. You've gotten through 39 and put a score into 41 off. What completes the dream so far as the season goes?
Well, I mean, I think that running 39 again and potentially getting a piece of two-bod at 41 to really claim that U17 world record as my own, because right now I'm tied with Fede, and obviously open world, it's a long shot. I think I would need a 2 or 3 at 41 to maybe get a wild card spot or anything for Team Canada, but I mean, it's the big goal, so.
Okay, but you're already in the World Championships, the Elite Worlds, based upon your individual scores. You could ski as an individual, is that right? Or
correct, but I don't think for Open Worlds, I don't think I'm in yet.
Not in yet,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm in for U21 and U17, but Open Worlds is still one that I really would like to get into. I know it's a bit ambitious and a bit long out, but I mean, it's the goal, it's...
It's good to be ambitious. It's good to be ambitious in this sport. It drives you, certainly. But anyway, so as we round off this podcast, any shout-outs you want to give, any thanks and what have you type deal?
I mean, thank you to obviously my dad and Andrew Bergman for priming me for the season and getting me ready and getting me training and like really working on stuff. And yeah, it's going to be a good summer, good year going forward. It's exciting to be a part of it, and yeah.
All right, excellent stuff. And that was Charlie Ross, and he will be competing in the under-17, under-21 World Championships, and I'm sure many, many more events towards the end of the season. I'm Tony Lightfoot. This has been the latest episode of the TWBC podcast, and we'll hope to check in with you very, very soon. But for now, it's goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.